Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Box Set Pod, this week brought to you by Hodor! No, that's a Game of Thrones joke. If you don't know Game of Thrones, this week the Box Set Pod is brought to you by TrustedVegas.com. You must fancy going to Vegas, or you must know someone who's thinking or has booked going to Vegas. Tell them to check out TrustedVegas.com first. It will tell you everything you need to know about visiting that city. Thanks. Now then, on a beautiful evening in Manchester, England, as the sun... It's not even setting yet, is it? It's a gorgeous day today.
No.
We turn our attention to a great British box set that you can still watch at the moment if you are listening in Britain. Elsewhere, you'll have to dig a little deeper, called Flowers. We're going to discuss Flowers later. Lots to come. Before then, we've got the chart in a moment and Jamie's news as well. I want to say you can always email us, and we love having your emails. Jack Connolly has emailed us. It's been a while since Jack Connolly emailed us.
Oh, Jack. Yeah, the Jackster.
For a while there, I used to text Jack because I had his number, because we got him on the pod once. I used to text Jack thinking that he was Jack Boardman, our work experience Jack, who appears on his podcast. And he'd have to text me back saying, yeah, I think you've got the wrong Jack there.
Oh, anyway, that is embarrassing.
Got over that with a small court case, and now he's emailing the show again. Hey, guys, I recently found myself getting in from work late on a Friday night and putting on Netflix to wind down. And although I have a load of things to continue watching, I didn't fancy any of them, so I stuck on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It's not actually on Netflix, so is it?
It is, yeah.
Is it? Oh, yeah, it is. I think partially because Andy Samberg, and partially because you guys did a pod on it, and I have to say it's fantastic. I was hooked from the first episode and blasted through a season and a half almost in a little over a week. Well, I'd do that in a night, I'll be honest, Jack. The momentum being derailed only because of having things to catch up on. Flash, Game of Thrones, Gotham and the like. And the fact that the new series of Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Watch It, was available. We've still not done that, and we've still not got into it, and he's been recommending it for a year. Mm. So far, that's brilliant too. I can't wait seeing it's taken me so long. I'm finding myself having in-between season fatigue. I watched the first season of Orange is the New Black and loved it, but the first episode or two of season two didn't really grab me. Also with Suits, when new episodes became available on Netflix, I started it and I just couldn't get back into it. I know, I found the same thing. Are you eating, Jamie?
No, I'm playing with a roll of wrapping paper.
Yeah, just, that's right.
I like fiddling.
Yeah, you like picking things that are the noisiest things you could pick. Why don't you get a gravel sand pit and walk around
it? I'll put it down. I'll put it down.
Granted, I didn't give it much of a chance, RE Suits, but I think in the past I've forgotten too much happening and now I have no idea what's going on. Yes. So basically, thanks for recommending Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think you could be a contender for my space box sets. What box sets would you take to space? Jack, thank you for your email. Email is yours, studio@theboxsetpod.com. Friend of ours, Roland, is in hospital as we speak. Last week we mentioned recommendations for Roland to watch when he's recovering at home. And I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a great suggestion from Jack there. So thank you, Jack. Good work. Yeah.
I think the best suggestion for Roland, and to tell you the truth, one of the highlights so far this year, the two best things I've seen on TV are Better Call Saul season two and Game of Thrones. I have to say, I am so impressed with this series of Game of Thrones. The last episode, season six, we're on now, is it? Season six, episode four, I believe that was. It was just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant TV.
Hodor! I mean, I have one problem.
Oh.
There's a right. The whole plot related to Hordor, and this isn't a spoiler, but the whole plot related to Hordor, but really it's a plot related to Bran, the character Bran.
Yeah.
It confuses me. I don't know where the tree people came from. I can't remember them arriving. It's the most weird and obscure, and it switches me off more than any other plot.
Right, the tree
that
plot.
Said,
well,
of course,
yeah.
The end of the episode and the thing that I'm quoting was excellent, but,
oh,
I mean, I still don't particularly, you know, when you analyse that particular thing.
I would not, that's the thing,
sad.
Like, if you pick it apart, if you pick the whole plot apart, you kind of see all the holes in it. But if you just, purely from an emotional point of view, thrilling, revelatory, and deeply moving, deeply moving stuff from Game of Thrones.
Your wife has just been a little bit funny, I just want to tell you that. Okay. Just try and keep still. I think that second episode was the slowest thing I've ever seen. I hated it, and then it's really rattling along now, so that's nice. It's good. Very good.
Absolutely superb.
Should we find out where that comes in the chart this week?
Let's do it.
At number 10, this is the chart compiled by Ben, our algorithm department. The only chart in the world that consists of legal and illegal downloads, depending on which country you're in, of course. It's always legal somewhere. Number 10 is Suits, just mentioned by Jack. At number 9, it's Fear the Walking Dead. Number 8, House of Cards. Number 7, Castle, which is just awful, says Ben. Big subjectivity squeaking in. Number 6, Downton Abbey. Number 5, Orange is the New Black. New series starts soon. DVD release of the previous series. And Netflix releasing a lot of DVDs now to drive people towards new seasons. Interesting. Peaky Blinders is at number 4, which I need to continue. My wife wants to continue. Number 3, The Flash. Number 2, The Night Manager. And, of course, number 1, Hordor.
Yeah, the Night Manager's doing really well in America. Like, it's massive over there. It's very popular. I think it's being shown on AMC, right. And it's going down an absolute treat. It's only 4 episodes, but it's loved by America.
What's going on in the news this week?
Well, let's go through a few bits and bobs. I've got a great now. Prison Break's returning. How will you know this?
Yes.
to a lot of people's bemusement, it's back on TV, and I've put the official trailer up now. The trailer you hope would explain.
What season is it? Is it 7?
This would be no. They only did 4 series, didn't they?
They only did 4. Well, it felt like 7, and I say, if you do something that feels like 7, why not do 8?
Yeah. Well, they're doing another series, and you'd expect in the trailer maybe you'd find a little bit more about how certain characters have returned. Yeah. There's no obvious reason why they have survived certain situations, but it doesn't matter. It's Prison Break, and guess what? One of them's in the prison, and they're going to break out.
The only sure thing, and if you go back and listen to me talking about Prison Break, I said even then, the only definite thing when you're watching Prison Break is that everything that happens is actually the opposite of the truth. Everything is a ruse, everything's a trick. So I'm not surprised at all. In fact, I watched the last episode and I went, yeah, that character's not dead.
Well, I think Prison Break is, I know someone who I'm trying to get to watch loads of things, but the only thing they're excited about and the only thing they care about is Prison Break.
Wow.
And I'm trying to get them to watch Walking Dead and Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. And they're like, no, I just want to watch Prison Break when that's back. And it's there you go. Some people, it works. Yeah. I've also bought a really, I mentioned last week, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
If you're watching Game
of
Thrones.
Because you were raving about it.
Do you not like it?
It's not that good.
The thing is, you have to, once you get the in jokes of the show, of the references to the characters.
Yeah.
The way genuinely, I love it, and sometimes it is better than the show even.
Okay.
And it's a brilliant recap. You don't need a full, hour long recap of episodes that they sometimes do with Breaking Bad and stuff like that, Talking Bad, and that they had. It, just to have a 3-minute recap from a hairdresser for me is hilarious. I'd also want to mention as well, Lenny Henry is going to be in the third and final series of Broadchurch. Sir Lenny Henry now, even. Forgot about that. Now, obviously, the last series was a stinker. It was a stinker. Everyone knows it was a stinker. But hopefully the third and final series, which is going to concentrate on a serious sexual assault, is going to be a bit of a corker. Now, wow. Lenny Henry.
Well, if one person screams able to handle the drama of a serious sexual assault, it's Lenny Henry.
Well, you know what? This is where I actually think he does, because I actually don't think he's that funny, Lenny Henry. Let me be honest with you.
He's been doing drama all his life.
I think... he is a very good dramatic actor at times. I've seen him in stuff in TV shows where I've seen him do serious material and really give it some weight, and I thought, oh my god, he's actually got a little bit of gravitas to this man that I hadn't noticed before. So I'm hopeful that he'll do a good job. I do want to mention as well, Chris Chibnall, the creator and writer of Broadchurch, will be replacing Stephen Moffat as the head writer and producer of Doctor Who. Damn. I think this is good news for Doctor Who, just because I think Moffat needed to go. I think he'd taken it to a stylistic version of Doctor Who
before.
That was drying up. Chris Chibnall can write some great misery slow-mos from like he did in Broadchurch and really change the direction of Doctor Who. Yeah. I think it's about time.
Nice. Great. All of that at theboxsetpod.com/news. Shall we welcome our guests for this evening? I say guests. Jack, our work experience boy, good evening.
Hello, how do you do?
All right, thanks, Jack. How are you?
I'm not too bad.
Great.
Not too bad.
And Tiernan Dewey-Ebb, otherwise known as, also known as, Frankie Boyle's right-hand man.
Hodor.
Tiernan's been off for a while. We've not had you on the podcast for a while.
Because I've been busy doing like shows and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you will do this record in the evening when shows happen, that's what happens.
Yeah. And you've been supporting Frankie Boyle.
Yep, indeed. Yeah. I was doing
exciting.
He was doing like warm up for Have I Got News For You, because he hosted it the other week. And basically, when it came to the record, it looks like they didn't let him do any of the jokes he'd been trying over the gigs that we did together.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's a shame. But there were some cracking ones in there.
Wow. So was he on stage, like, sat behind a desk practicing his introductions and stuff?
No. He's sort of running in some new material as well. So he just did it all to stand up. But he'd sort of come out. Talk to the audience, tell them that he's going to do new stuff, introduce me, I'd go out and do 20-25 minutes to warm them up, and then he'd go out and do sort of half an hour of stuff. So now, yeah, it's pretty good. I'm supporting him again through August as well in London. So
people who buy tickets for Frankie Boyle expect a certain bear pit of excitement. Perhaps you may have been a little more afraid going out in front of this audience for the first time, were you?
No, do you know what? No, because I supported him a bit last year, and I had this real like, oh god, they're just going to want to heckle the crap out of me. But they don't. They want to heckle the crap out of him. Yeah. They're very happy to sit and listen to me and save all their energy for him, and then he says horrible things to them, and they go home really pleased. So yeah, it works out well. It's
and what
specific heckling?
And what can you tell us about Frankie Boyle, the man, that no one else would know?
That's tricky. I don't know.
Maybe he likes Skittles.
No, he doesn't really have anything backstage other than water. He's pretty unexciting. He's given me a list of his favourite graphic novels that I should check out, which are pretty awesome.
Did you talk to him about box sets at all?
I didn't, but he loves Better Call Saul. Big fan of that.
There we go. Good. Man of taste. And I think his stand-up that's on Netflix is particularly good as well. I enjoyed that a lot. Well done, Tim, and how exciting for you. How exciting. Now, we're about to talk about a TV series that has been on very recently on Channel 4 and is now on all four. So if you've got time to play catch-up, then I highly recommend it, because I've watched the whole season, the whole series, but our two guests tonight have only watched the first episode. They are our guinea pigs. And Jamie, how many have you watched?
I've only watched the one as well.
Okay. Now, I already know the rough litmus test of both Tiernan and Jack. Now, Jack, we just expect to hate really, really good things. So that didn't surprise me. But what I've been thinking ever since a few days ago when I announced we were going to talk about this TV series, Tiernan said he didn't like it. And I've got to say, Tiernan, I've been actually in a bit of a cloud of depression ever since I heard that. And
oh, mate.
This is the podcast I've least looked forward to for a long time, because this goes above and beyond someone slagging off Chuck for me.
Really?
Above and beyond. So let's deal with where we are and what it is. Let's deal with it as usual. This TV series is called Flowers. It stars Julian Barrett from The Mighty Boosh, Olivia Colman from Everything Else, and it is written and starring by Will Sharp. So, Tiernan, can you give us the blurb of what is the setup of this before we get into opinion?
It is a dysfunctional family who the husband's a sort of failing children's writer, I guess, who's suicidal at times, and it's kind of it's about their lives in their little house in the countryside, isn't it? And they've got kids. Olivia Colman's a kind of frustrated wife. They have two twins who are really weird, and a live-in kind of Japanese, I don't know what he is, sort of assistant, au pair, I don't know, who helps out. And there's a series of other characters that are very two-dimensional that pop in and out. I'll be honest, I didn't even make it through the first episode first time round. I've sat through the whole thing today. The whole first episode.
You watched it all today?
I just meant I watched the whole first episode. I only made it about 15 minutes into the first episode first time round. And this time round, I've managed to sit and watch the full half hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Jamie, you've watched it.
Yeah, I watched the first episode.
Tell you what, let's do this. Let's go around the room, right? Giving this a mark out of 10 from each of our perspectives. I will go first. Jamie will go second. Jack will go third, and Tina will go fourth. Marks out of 10, please. 10 from me.
I'd say at the moment 7.5.
I'd say a solid 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to say a four, yeah. Slightly more 10.
Now, first of all, first question, Tina, is what happened during your break that would put you so far down the taste ladder that you are touching shoulders with Jack?
Ah, oh, you see, hey, I have to back Jack on this. People like Peaky fucking Blinders in the end. And he came round to Kimmy Schmidt. So there's taste there. There's hope for everyone.
There's hope for everyone, including you?
No, really?
Well, here's the point of the one episode. This is the whole point of the guinea pig setup, isn't it? The whole point is that you might despise something at first in the same way that Jack did Kimmy Schmidt. It would be wrong of you to be as condescending as me and say, well, you would have understood Kimmy Schmidt in the first episode. You know, you could change your mind about this. You could.
That is true. I mean, I am tempted to kind of get through the lot of them and see, you know, if it changes my mind. I mean, there are things about it that I like. I think it's filmed beautifully. I think all the cast are very good. They're all brilliant actors. You know, it's an incredible cast of Julian Barrett and Olivia Colman and Daniel Rigby and all the other ones. You know, it's brilliant. I just think the writing is terrible. It's really, really... I think it's quite lazy. I think that, you know, it's trying really hard to be over kooky and weird without any kind of reasoning for it. You know, I think I really loved the first maybe 7 or 8 minutes of it when I watched it. I loved the opening scene. I really love it all the way to the kind of conversation between Julian Barrett and Olivia Colman. And from that point on, when Will Sharp's character appears, I just went, what is this? This is rubbish.
Okay. So what have you got against Will Sharp's characters? what have you got against Will Sharp's character? Bearing in mind that this is the man who wrote the entire thing.
I don't know what the point of him is.
By the way, big shout out to Will Sharp, who liked the tweet that I wrote saying how great his series was. Carry on, Tiernan.
I see. Is this why you gave it 10 out of 10?
No, absolutely not. No.
Next week's guest is Will Sharp. What a fucking surprise.
I did want to get him on this week and secretly have him sat here now while you slagged it off.
Just listening. It's awkward. I know one of the guys that plays one of the builders I know very well as well, so I've got to be careful.
No, you don't have to be careful. You don't. No, you're one episode in. This is the point.
Yeah. I think Will Sharpe's character seems pointless. I mean, again, this might change over the...
No, this is fine.
But in the first episode, he seems really pointless and over-the-top kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I think it's something like, when we've talked about it with other series, like, with, you know, when I was listening to your Man Seeking Women episode, which I've now loved and watched all of, it's kind of comfortable in its surrealness, and it feels like that fits in with the world that it's in. I found in Flowers, it feels like it's crowbarred in, as though kind of, hey, we've got to be wacky. And particularly like when you look at the ending of episode one, it feels like they've just thrown in a lot of really implausible nonsense to try and give it some sort of explosive conclusion. And I just didn't buy any of it, and I didn't really care about any of the characters.
Okay. Jack, what's your vision of that?
See, I don't even think it's that wacky. I just think it's odd and just quite self-loathing. And in a way,
Yourself. What's wrong with that?
In a way, it reminds me of The Walking Dead. In The Walking Dead, when there's a funny bit, it stands out because of how just sad the rest of the show is. That's what I felt like Flowers was like. The opening scene, it was quite funny. But then my massive problem is that I don't like Olivia Colman.
Right.
Oh,
as bad as that is. And I don't like Julian Barrett with a beard either.
That counts out a lot of TV and films for you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Olivia Colman in you. That's about 98% of television.
I think Colman's definitely suffering at the moment from Olivia Colman fatigue, in that, you know, she is brilliant, but she's been used in so much stuff that even when I started Flowers, I went, oh, Olivia Colman's been in everything that I've watched recently. I feel like I've kind of had it. But there, I was pleasantly surprised, I think. Okay, where do we go from here, Jamie?
Well, I liked it. I mean, I love Julian Barrett. I think he is just brilliant, and I don't think he does enough. And I think when he is in something, I just love watching him. He's such a brilliant tragic comedy. He's perfect for tragic, sad, dark comedy. He's perfect for this show. And Olivia Colman, I can see why people might get a bit of coal lash, but I think that she is just made that up. And I think why people might get a bit annoyed, but I really like. I think she's done a lot of really good serious work recently, but I think she's brilliant in Peep Show, and I think she's just a really talented comic actress, and she knows what she's doing. I have to admit, It's hard to get into it the first episode because it is so, it's in this very sort of surreal and dark world. But I liked what I saw, and it made me want to watch more. And it has that, you know, I just like the sort of the misery comedy kind of. I like that stuff really, and I think it's got real potential. That's what I see. I see potential. Okay.
Did you find it funny? Like, did you actually laugh at any of it?
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say massively. Like, I wasn't laughing my face off or anything, but I was. I did have a couple of guffaws in there.
Just two.
Which would qualify.
Yeah, because it feels to me like it's not funny enough to be a comedy, but it's not quite dramatic enough to be a drama. I feel sort of confused as to what it is.
This is what I feel like. I feel like it'll get funnier once I know the characters better. Like, I feel like sometimes comedies like this, you need to know them to really find it funny. You need to, if you don't know these characters, you don't appreciate the quirks, you're not going to find it funny until you understand the characters better, and then it'll become really funny. That's what I'm imagining will happen.
I spent best part of 11 years working with Jamie. I've known him since we were 11, and I've spent the majority of that time apologizing for him, explaining why he wandered off in the middle of a meeting or why he didn't show up on time. And yet the one thing that I would always say was, Jamie's got great judgment, right since the age of 11, when I was confused about, you know, who I was, what I was doing with life. He was always had sage advice.
Come
and
to Jamie.
It frustrates me that he is so bang on all of the time. What Jamie's just said is exactly correct. How have you worked that out? Because, okay, I like Tiernan and like Jack. I watched the first episode. I didn't laugh a great deal. I found it like a Roald Dahl on acid, is how I would describe it. There is something very Roald Dahl about it, both in terms of the writer in the shed, but also in the characters, the sort of Mr. Twit. They're a bit like the Twits or something living in the woods. She is insane. Her character is turned up to 11. The party that ensues at the end of episode one is so nuts that you go in, what is this? And then you summed it up to him by saying it was 2D. And Jamie is absolutely right. The list of reasons that I've got for you to continue are, number one, Julian Barrett. When have you known him to be in something that isn't really, really good?
Yeah, that is a very good point.
Okay.
I mean, he is consistently very good and he's in consistently good things, which is why I think I was a bit surprised by this as well.
I think for you to take the moral high ground over his decision after episode one of watching it as a consumer would be poor judgment. I think he's chosen very wisely. And I think point number two of reasons to continue is the exact same thing, but as with Olivia Colman, I don't think she makes bad decisions. And I don't think either of those actors need to make decision. I don't think they made this decision for the money. So if you don't listen to me tonight, think about that when you think about Carrying On.
So does it really, I mean, how quickly does it develop into something more? Like,
that brings me to point three of four. Point number three, the explosion of, well, first of all, a question, Tiernan. Do you think that comedy is supposed to be 3D?
I think it's meant to be. I think it can be what it wants, but I feel like the writing...
Can you name two comedies that are 3D rather than 2D?
Veep, that I've been watching lately, I think is very 3D. I think every single character feels whole and rounded.
And how many seasons are you into that?
That's now into season 5, but I felt that within an episode really? Of the first season. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. Similarly, I suppose, the thick of it as well. But I think Brooklyn Nine-Nine, episode 1 gave us really strong characters very quickly. And I know they're very different types of sitcom. Spaced, episode 1, that was so incredibly 3D. Mm. I think that's one of my favourite sitcoms of all time. And I think there are ways to do it. I think for me it was just even like Daniel Rigby's characters, one of the twins, in the first episode when the woman Abigail runs past him and he's sitting there kind of, as she leaves, he's sitting there going, destiny. It felt like really just cheap writing to me. Mm. It felt a bit just like...
Oh, sorry, Will. Sorry about that. I think that your experience of it so far is 2D. Jamie has got it bang on. Because this thing is so bizarre and the characters are... This series is about mental illness. That's what this whole thing is about, right? And if you access it from that point of view, the two twins are... autistic, certainly Asperger's or something on that spectrum, and the dad is in a situation we've all seen of extreme depression. The wife has been, the mum has been driven to distraction, no doubt as a result of all of these characters, these family members in the woods, living in the woods. And in a half hour first episode, you're never going to get, in that extreme drawing and pace, you're never going to get anything other than a 2D drawing, quite an insane, literally insane cross section of people. And so I kind of can't disagree that I didn't have the same adverse reaction that you had, but that explosion of weirdness at the end of episode one is what is then flattened out, if you like, or fleshed out into a 3D exploration of the mental world that we live in. Will Sharpe's character, and I didn't realise that he'd written it, but that character confused me at first as well. But I think we're running the danger of viewing it and going, you know, like with Veep and Man vs. Woman and all these things, everything is so laid out for us on the first page that we know exactly where we stand with everyone. We know exactly where we stand with the style and the content and everything, you know. And whilst they're clever tricks and they're clever gags, we're not going to kind of explore anything of huge depth. What this series does is unravel in a way that you will love more and more and more the more you watch it. What Will Sharpe's done with his character, but also with the story, I think is the best thing that I have seen come out of British TV in as long as I can remember.
You are definitely selling it. You're selling it very. You've definitely become buddies with Will Sharpe. That's definitely what's happened there.
I have. He just likes to tweet. But the British debate that we had a while ago, you know, where I was saying British actors, and I had a problem with them trying to emulate the American way of doing things. What you've got here is somebody who's got a vision, has written something that is truly. I was in floods of tears, in sadness, watching this, and I was in hysterics as well watching it. And what Julian Barrett does is what only Julian Barrett can do, which is that, you know, on the surface at the moment you're seeing him do something that you've seen him do before, which is that quite close-lipped, there's a lot going on inside, and even if he's absolutely furious, he'll say something really nice to somebody, you know, someone's just run over his foot and he'll say it's a pleasure, you know. That's what he's excellent at. But the way that that ties into to actual mental illness and actual depression is phenomenal. I love this series so much that I've never wished for people's minds to be changed more, and I really do understand where you're starting with from it.
I mean, I have to say, like, I'm not opposed to trying more, you know, to watching more episodes at all. And I think, yeah, you're definitely selling it. You're definitely selling it. But the thing, I just suppose, for me, it wasn't about the oddness of it. I love shows that are odd. I've just been watching Maria Bamford's new show on Netflix, which is completely batshit and nothing like anything I've ever seen. And I love it. It just felt for me like, it just in that one episode, like it didn't believe in its own oddness. I don't know. It felt like...
I just think it does. I think you don't yet. And I think that's understandable.
No, I don't at all.
I think that it believes in its own oddness so much that it isn't scared about doing things that might appear on the surface like we've seen it before, like Roald Dahl on acid, or like your man's character's a bit thin on the ground, you know. And there is something that happens in the penultimate episode that is just Will Sharpe's character telling a story, and it's just it's beautiful. And the whole thing, you should just try and see it as that thing that you've described. It's like I am annoyed by these characters. And you're right, the style on the surface is brilliant. Straight out the bat, it's like, oh, I love the way it's filmed, I love the cinematography, all of that. Hold on to that, and hold on to the fact that these characters are fucking weird. But then just keep remembering that this isn't a massive team of writers. This isn't a big BBC-funded project. This is a guy who sat down with a script and written something about the mind.
Well, I think it's interesting that, like, Channel 4 showed this, broadcast it over a week, didn't they? Like, they clearly did that for a reason. And I imagine it's because they thought, well, this is something that, if you leave it a week, you might just go, not going back to that.
If you
give it another go day after day, then in a binge format way, you might actually get into it, and you might actually become more interested in the sort of characters and the comedy that it creates. But yeah, I think
didn't they screen episode one and two together originally? Was that right?
Yeah, I think you might.
Yeah, I actually watched episode two today by accident. I thought it was a tag on of episode one, and when I realised it did get better in episode two, I think the Japanese character was more funny.
Yeah,
and
he's the writer, Jack. That's the writer.
No, well, he's
Jack,
the writer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, Jack, you just gave it 3 out of 10 still.
Yeah.
Listen.
What was it before you watched episode 2?
Oh, 1.5.
I think
by 1.5 points per episode, then by the end it's got to be decent.
I think the best way of thinking about it then is this is a homework project. Just watch it all purely as a test to see if your score goes up by the time we speak next. You know, it gets 8 out of 10 on IMDb. Is that good, Jamie?
Yep. Very good.
There you go. You know, it's. This is one of those things that I think your life won't change if you don't watch it, and my life won't change if you don't watch it, but your life will definitely improve if you do. It's brilliant.
Wow. It's a good argument.
You've nailed it, though, Jamie. I mean, when you listen back to this podcast, right, when you have watched the whole thing, listen back and listen to Jamie's description and bear in mind that Jamie has only watched episode 1. I don't know how you figured that out. You're absolutely bang on. We finished episode 1 and I was like, yeah, should we watch something else? And Sarah said, let's put number 2 on. And she wanted to stick with it. So I could well have been in your camp here, guys, as well. But my God. So good.
Right. Well, fair enough. I will. It's on the four, all on four, a bit long, isn't it?
Yeah, all four. Make sure.
Yeah, it's changed its name, hasn't it? All for one.
Something like that. And listen, everyone. If you are in Britain and you can watch this, do it before it goes off because it'll be off soon. It won't be on there soon. And I can't imagine this is one of those things that's going to be readily available. It's kind of in its weird corner of the world. Hopefully Netflix will take it and it should because it's so good. It's so innovative. Anyone want to slag it off further?
I'd just like to mention before we go, I know, Jack, you're up to date with Game of Thrones. Tynan, are you up to date with Game of Thrones?
Yes, indeed.
I know we can't give away spoilers, but how are you feeling about that last episode of Game of Thrones?
Oh, man, it was brutal, but I thought it was fantastic. It was the kind of... I've been enjoying this season anyway, but that was the episode that's really got me excited for all the other episodes. But at the same time, I wept inside.
I know. It was really sad. What about you, Jack?
I shed a solitary tear when in that very last scene. Jeez. But I don't understand it.
Because you are Hordor. You're the Hordor of this podcast.
I've been Googling it ever since, trying to actually work out what the hell happened.
Yeah, it was a bit confusing.
Well, there's a bit of time travel trouble going on, isn't there? I suppose.
Yeah.
He was looking in the past. You are aware of that?
Oh, yeah. I understand that.
Which is why he's been the way he's been. That's the answer.
Yeah, but when Bran was back in... I thought he was too much away.
I'll tell you what, anyone who hasn't seen Game of Thrones, switch off now. We'll have a quick spoiler chat, right? But before you go, let me say this. Before Chris, what's his name? Chris Allen, is it? Emails me with a ton of abuse because he sits through the whole of Flowers. Do sit through the whole of Flowers, but I do hope that you love it. It still won't be for everybody, but if you've ever known anyone who's suffered with depression, my God, this is bang on. Wow. Anyway.
Wow.
Right, spoiler time. Game of Thrones. So what's your problem, Jack?
Okay. I don't understand how when Bran was back in, let's say, 20, 30 years ago, how he captured Hodor when he was back into... Did he walk into Hodor when he was back in time?
Yeah, that was a bit fucking weird, wasn't it?
But then Hodor also, in the current day, like kind of went all waggy, didn't he? His eyes went funny. As his eyes went funny in the past. So was he something to do with it as well?
Well, no, I mean, Bran was working Hordor, wasn't he? Bran was warging him. Bran was controlling Hordor like he has done in the past when his eyes went weird. As for Hordor in the past, they showed him in an episode earlier. He was working on Winterfell, wasn't he? He was a stable boy, and he's just in the grounds while they're watching the Stark children interact. and he catches the eye of Bran and seems to hear through Bran that girl as she shouts, you know, the hold the door line.
So it's her fault, really.
Yeah. I mean, a bit of Bran. Apparently, the actor who plays Bran tweeted later after the episode saying, "Nice one, Bran."
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, because Bran is the whole of Game of Thrones is pretty much Bran's fault. I mean, from episode one, it's all his fault, you know, really. Yeah. He's an asshole.
Yeah, well, I've heard that he goes back in time and it's Bran who makes the Mad King go mad.
Really?
Oh. Yeah. Oh.
Bran is, he's like, basically, he's playing the stubborn teenager part now, isn't he? And he's restless. So when they say wait, he doesn't wait. It's a classic character of, it's like Jack. Yeah. He's the Jack of this podcast. It's like,
it would have been much safer for everyone if he'd done a classic teenager and just stayed in his room all day.
Exactly.
Without wanting to interact with anyone.
I mean, what a prick. They've got a 1,000-year-old man who's been stuck in a tree for 1,000 years, says to you, just wait 5 minutes while I have a snooze before you do any more flashbacks, and you can't wait. He's 1,000 years old. What a dick. I hope he dies, but I bet the whole of the Game of Thrones is going to end with him pushing, what's his name, out the window, Cersei's brother.
Well,
Jaime.
Oh, Jaime. Really? Well, I mean, that's the thing, because now Bran knows when he goes back into time, he can change things. He can actually change events, you know.
Can he?
Because he can actually interfere with them, like he did with Hordor. He interfered
with
the
past. So he could change everything then? He could basically make Game of Thrones never happen?
Well, potentially, because
oh, man, if this ends like Lost, I'm going to be so angry.
This whole plot is the most annoying one of the lot for me. Does no one else find this like it's out on a limb, quite literally?
Well, apparently it was because it was George R. R. Martin's idea, wasn't it? The Hodor bit, like loads of things said, "Oh, the TV's gone ahead of him," but actually they consulted with him, and this was part of his plan.
Who would you know, who would buy into that? If it was a commissioning meeting, and a writer went, "I've come up with an idea. Character called Hodor. Why is he called Hodor? Because he had to hold the door." Have 50 million.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, because it's different when you're right. When you're a writer, you can do this. You can create a character who is that ridiculous in a lot of ways, and it can be an absolutely heartbreaking moment.
I mean, don't forget that kids' cartoon called Stop It and Tidy Up, and that's all those guys did, and that was their name. So
J.K. Rowling went, a boy is magic and goes to a magic school in a castle, and look what happened. You have to have a bit of your brain missing, don't you, if you're a writer, I think, to be able to like really think like a child whilst also be really good at spelling and grammar at the same time.
It's got to be a very specific bit that goes missing.
Yeah, I'm missing both of those.
I mean, I think that, yeah, you're right. The plot is ridiculous. The plot
I don't know how we got here. Like, it's my least memorable journey. I know that he lost his legs because he fell out the window. The kid who helped him get up there was the one that he faked got burned in a fire by the evil twat. And then he went up north. They found the way to the tree man, and now they're seeing him. And then he grew old. When this series started, I didn't know who he was because he'd grown up so much.
They also seem to completely ignore like that bit about those little weird tree kids made the White Walkers.
Well, where the
and
hell
everyone
they
went,
from?
Oh right, let's move on with something else. And you go, but hang on, isn't that really?
Yeah, it was literally a line where they went, "Oh, you made the White Walkers," and she went, "Yes, we did." And that was it.
I also find the Arya plot a little bit annoying at times. Like, I'm getting a little bit annoyed with
how
that.
How annoying
one.
is the one who keeps beating the shit out of her with a stick?
Oh my god!
She was in Fresh Meat, wasn't she? In season.
Oh, she was.
She's really nice. Faye. What's her name? She's lovely.
I'm not saying she's
horrible. Yeah.
I'm not saying she's a bad actress, but I mean she's fucking annoying. I mean that character. It's like, if you're so good, why are you in here all the time? What exactly is the point of this place?
How much does it seek Kevin Oldham to play Ned Stark in a play?
Yeah. That little play was really good. But she's loving it, and she's back then. She's just had the Stark beaten out of her, and then it takes one little play to put it. I don't know.
I mean, there are a lot of like plot bits that are annoying, but I still think I'm really enjoying this series. I think there's other plot lines that are incredibly strong, and I think they've had like nearly every episode this series had massive moments at the end of it, like huge. You know, Daenerys at the end of the episode before, and I think it's been just genuinely epic TV, and it's some of the best stuff they've done in a while.
But it is like if Lost had a much bigger budget. That's what I'm worried about. Is that I really am starting to feel a little bit they're making up as they go along, and they're going to carry on forever. But their challenge is going to be when they're not.
They actually do have a debt. I think they set it to eight series.
Right.
So they're on six.
One of the series is only going to be like short, though. I think they're talking about
either
series seven or eight. It's only going to be a couple of episodes or something.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
They've got to bring it round quick because they've set themselves up with a lot of loose ends.
Yeah, that is true.
And they will have had to do that. They'll have wanted to run it forever, but their problem is going to be old Jon Snow won't want to commit for another 20 years to the same part, will he?
I guess when they want to sew it up, Bran will just go back in time and make sure he doesn't fall out of the window, and then it'll be sorted, won't it?
That'd be great.
That'd be so depressing.
They'll roast a chicken with Sean Bean, who looks suspiciously a lot older than he did.
He'll still die somehow. He has to. It's the law.
Right, thanks, guys. So next week, we'll do what we were going to do this week, which I believe is Transparent.
Transparent!
And I hope I've persuaded you enough to sit through this miserable series, Tiernan, and lesser so, Jack. But no, Jack, you've shown the most propensity for change on this podcast, so I hold out hope for you. You've still got the youthful, malleable brain and heart.
Give it a go.
Well, good luck. Thank you all. Say hi to Frankie Boyle for us, Tiernan. Get him on the podcast.
Will do.
And if you bump into Will Sharp, you owe him a few apologies.
Yeah, I can't see him favouriting any of my tweets anytime soon.
Don't think so. See you next week on theboxsetpod.com when we'll be talking about Transparent, and you email us studio@theboxsetpod.com. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Transparent, is that on... What's it on?
It's on
Amazon.
Amazon, if you've got it.
No, I will... Okay, I'll have a look.
Have a look around.
I will have a look around.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
That's the end of the podcast. See ya!